بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم فأجاءها المخاض إلى جذع النخلة قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Today's talk has been inspired by one of the brothers who recently asked me a question regarding difficulties in life and how du'as are accepted in the eyes of Allah and how du'as work. When he was mentioning his difficulties and how his life was, it reminded me of a story in the Quran and the ayat I just recited right now. The life of the honorable woman in the Quran, which is Maryam alayha salam. She, inshallah, will be speaking about some of the aspects of her life and what she went through. But the brother mentioned that at the start of his life, since he's little, he's always been praying his salah. He's always been fasting when Ramadan has come, and he's always been good to his parents. And whatever dua that he has made, alhamdulillah, by the will of Allah, has always been accepted one way or another. He's never had a problem. Whatever job he wanted, he got that job from doing dua. Whatever difficulty that he had, by just doing dua, that difficulty would be removed from his life. But then, later on, as he got older, he got into a difficulty, such difficulty, that no matter how much dua he increased in, no matter how much ibadat he increased, no matter how much fast he increased, and no matter how much prayers he increased, his difficulty would just get bigger and bigger, and there would be no ease in his difficulty. So what he started to think that, am I in the bad books of Allah? Does Allah not like me? Is there something wrong that I'm doing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not answering my prayers, and my difficulty is just getting worse and worse, and my du'as are not being accepted? My brothers, this happens to so many of us. This is why I wanted to talk about this, because this is it's not a rare case. It's a very, very common case. Many of us go through difficulties through our lives, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in a test. And just because our du'as are not accepted at that time, we start to go into waswasa of shaitan. We let shaitan deceive us, thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'udhu billah, he's not there. And he starts to make you think, and he goes into shirk. So the brother, mashallah, he was praying since he was little, and now he started to think wrong. He started to think that, why is this happening to me when I'm the one who does such good things? I reminded the brothers, inshallah, I'll remind everyone else and myself, that no matter how great you are, no matter if you're a prophet of Allah, if you're an awliya of Allah, you will go through difficulties in life. This world is not Jannah. If this world was Jannah, it'll be given to our Prophet beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But even he went through difficulties. If you look at the example in the Quran, if you look at the Nuh alayhi salam story, do you not think he prayed for his son? Do you not think that he made dua for his son so that his son is guided towards Allah? For 950 years and over, Nuh alayhi salam called out to his people again and again, no matter how much times he was hit, no matter how much times he was abused, So if he can call his people, do you not think he would make dua again and again for his son? But did his son at the end, did he accept what his father was saying? No, he died as a non-believer, his son. What does that show is that no matter how big your level is in the eyes of Allah, if you're the awliya of Allah or you're someone who does not pray, difficulties will come to you. That's life. If we look at another example of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made dua for his uncles, Abu Lahab, for his heart to come towards Islam, but did he accept Islam? And similarly, when we look at du'as of Yaqub alayhi salam, when he made du'a for Yusuf alayhi salam when he went away, did his du'a get accepted? It did get accepted, but how long did it take after many, many, many years of his life, after he lost his eyesight, he finally met his son? But it just shows that even if you're the Prophet of Allah, you will go through difficulties in life. My brothers, there's two types of du'as that we make. The first type is the du'a that we make for ourselves. When we are in a difficulty, we say, "Oh Allah, make our problem easy. Oh Allah, give me health. Oh Allah, solve my problem through the work or get me this job." And the second du'a that we make is for our family, for our relatives, for the mankind, for the ummah. But the du'as are now of two types. There's talab and there's du'a. What is the meaning of talab and du'a? We need to understand the meaning of these two things to then know why our du'as will get accepted or not get accepted, and why they're not accepted fast. Talab, what is talab? Let's look at talab first. Talab means search. When you're searching for something, when you want something, this is why when we want something, for example, we want a job, that is talab, we are searching. That's the dua that we make. And dua, the meaning of dua is calling out. Who are we calling out? When we raise our hands, when we say Allahumma, who are we calling out? We're calling our Creator. We're calling Allah. So dua, the reason why we make dua, the reason why Muslims make dua, is that our connection with Allah gets stronger. That communication between us and Allah gets stronger. It does not mean that our difficulty will go away. It does not mean that thing that we want will receive. Dua is a gift for a Muslim for their connection to be stronger with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that itself is a great thing, for your connection with Allah to be strong. This is why we make dua. We humble ourselves. We remind ourselves that we are the slave and He is the Creator, and we make dua. If it's not accepted, we do not think that I've done such and such thing. I've finished the whole Quran. I've done such and such fast. Why is my du'as not accepted? This is where the problem arises. When we think that I've done such and such thing, why is my du'a not accepted? When we actually think that what is the meaning of du'a? What is the benefit of du'a? The benefit of du'a is so that our connection with Allah gets stronger. That communication between us and Allah is there. And that does not go away. This is why we make dua, my brothers. This is the first and foremost thing that we should think. The meaning of dua is means you're calling out Allah. You're calling towards Allah. And this shows that you're a humble person. Because a non-humble person will not call out to someone else. If someone who's got takabbur in their heart, someone who's got ego in their heart, they will not call out towards someone else. As a Muslim, when we call out towards Allah, it humbles us. It reminds us that we are the slaves. Now the second thing, before I go into the story of Maryam alayhi salam, is that when we go through difficulties, it at the end there is khair for you, if not for you, for someone else. And inshallah, I'll give a few examples of this so that we understand it better. There is khair for us in every single difficulty. When the brother, he said that he cannot, when he was telling me that his difficulty is not getting easy and easy, and it's just getting worse and worse. And I reminded him that there is khair in this for you, and I gave him some examples, and I'll share those examples with you all, inshallah. The first example, when we look at Yusuf alayhi salam's story, what did a child do for him to get kidnapped? What did a child do for him to be put in a well in a jungle? What did a child do to be sold in Egypt as a child slave? And what did a child, what did he do to be put into prison for many, many years? He did not do anything. He went through all these tests and attributes. Why? It's because there was khair in this for him. If not for him, then it was khair for other people. How? Let's look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. If he did not get kidnapped, he would not be in that well. If he was not in that well, he would not be sold in Egypt. He would not arrive in Egypt. If he was not in Egypt, he would have not met the king of Egypt. He would not be there as a slave of the king. If he was not the slave of the king, he would not be put into prison. And if he was not put into prison, he would not meet those two brothers, the two people there, who then, one of them went on to tell the king that, I know someone who can interpret dreams. And when he came out of prison, and when he interpreted the king's dream, which was, for 7 years there will be a lot of fruit and vegetable that will grow, and then for 7 years there will be drought. If he did not interpret that, many, many, many children and families could have died. Many people could have died. There was a financial risk there. There was a crisis, financial crisis in that time. So if he did not interpret that dream, many people could have died in that region, in Egypt. And what happened? Yusuf alayhi salam was in charge of the khazain, of the wealth of that city. And he distributed those wealth, and no one died of hunger through the 7 years. For him to go through all those difficulties, there was khair in other people. One person goes through difficulties for other to have ease. When we go through difficulties, we should remember that if I'm going through my difficulty, then later on, this difficulty could be khair for others, if not for myself in the future. Because at the end of Yusuf alayhi salam's story, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says that Allah is ghalib of what happens to him. Allah sees what goes on through Yusuf alayhi salam's life. So he knows what's going on, meaning that he knows what's good for him. He knows what's best for him. Now, my brothers, I don't have that much time. Just to quickly wrap up of how the story is, there's a lot of similarity with the story of Maryam alayhi salam. When we look at the life of Maryam alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam's mother, she expected a boy to be born. And they all expected a boy. They made dua for that. And when she was born, they were disappointed. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? That this girl will be better than boys. This woman will be better than all the men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored her. How? From birth. When the similarity between her and my friend who mentioned that story to me, his life, Maryam alayhi salam, when she was in mihrab, in the place of worship, when Zakaria alayhi salam would come to see her, there'd be always fruit and vegetables and fruit and the rizq there for her. And he would be surprised, and he would ask her that, where is this fruit coming from? This fruit does not even grow in this region, in this city. So how are you getting this fruit here and this vegetable here? And she said, I don't know, someone brings it to me. And I ask for dua, I make dua, and someone brings it to me. So what does that show? That whenever she makes dua, there's ease for her in her life. Whenever she made dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept her duas. And let's fast forward through her life. When the angels came and said that you will be given birth to a boy. And she said that no man has ever touched me, meaning I'm not married. How can I have a child? How can I have a child? The angel said, this is something that we're not here to negotiate. This is something that has been prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And later on, fast forward, when she gave birth to Isa alayhi salam, what was the first thought that came before she even had the birth? What was the thought that was coming to her? Is that, what am I going to say to other people? My brothers, think about this difficulty that she was going through here. What am I going to show to other people, that where did this baby come from? What will people think? I am not married. What will people think? Where did I get this baby from? They will accuse me of having done zina. And they will look down upon me. My brothers, this accusation, I'm sure there's no woman in this masjid or downstairs, but as men here, we cannot handle an accusation upon our sisters, our mothers, our wives. When someone tells us that your sister, your wife, or your mother has done such and such thing, it's in our ghira. It's our dignity. Our dignity as a Muslim means more to us than our lives. We cannot handle that pain when someone tells us that your sister or your wife or your mother has done such and such thing. We cannot handle that. We will rather die than this day happening. Similarly, when she was going through this, she could not bear this torture. She could not bear this difficulty where she was thinking that, what would people say to me? Where did you get this baby from? And when you look, when she was given birth, what did she say? In the Quranic ayat I recited at the start, she said, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha. Oh, I wish that I died before this. Meaning that I died before this. Death would be better for me than what the people would say to me before. She asked for death. And what does our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says? None of you should ask for death. Never wish for death. No matter how much difficulty life gives you, never ask for death. But what did she do? Subhanallah, when I read this Quranic ayat, when I was studying the tarjuma of the Quran, when I read this ayah, I was surprised, I was astonished. Look how severe this ayah is. She is asking for death. She is saying, I wish I was dead, nasyam mansiya, and I was completely forgotten. So that I was erased from people's memories. No one remembers me before this and after this. نَسْيَ مَنْسِيَّ. This shows the difficulty that she was going through. And no matter how much dua she made, she could not leave this embarrassment which was to come to her. No matter how much she prayed to Allah, this was prescribed upon her. And this difficulty was there for her. And then later on, it shows to us, my brothers, that this difficulty is there for every single one of us. And later on, look at why did she go through all this difficulty? Now let's look at what is the benefit of this for her. She gave birth to Isa alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored her. When you look at the Quran, where everywhere her name comes, she's prescribed, there's nowhere else where a prophet's name comes. After that, there's the name of the parent. When you look at Muhammad alayhi salam, when you look at Zakariya alayhi salam, when you look at all the other prophets, their parents' names are not mentioned. It doesn't say Muhammad ibn Abdullah. It does not say Yaqub ibn Ishaq. But when you look at Maryam alayhi salam, it says Isa ibn Maryam. Everywhere in the Quran, Isa ibn Maryam, Isa ibn Maryam, Isa ibn Maryam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored her there. In the Quran, she's been mentioned, been attached with the name of Isa alayhi salam. No other prophet or no other person has been prescribed this. Another honor that she has is that every time a woman goes through this kind of difficulty where she's been accused, or when a person makes a mistake like that, they find comfort in the life and the story of Maryam alayhi salam. When they read about this life, they find comfort that this happened with her and this will happen with me. And they find comfort that everything went okay with her and everything will go okay with me. What happens with this is that her daraja, her levels in the akhirah will rise and rise and rise and rise. This is the honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her for the little difficulty that she went through. For the little problems that she went through, she was honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and in the akhirah. So my brothers, the point of this whole story was, as again, for those brothers who are just here now, we go through difficulties, and sometimes our du'as, as parents, we make du'as for our children that they've gone through the wrong way, or we make du'a and we say, why is our du'as not being accepted? Do not lose hope in Allah. And remember that when your du'as are not accepted, this does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like you, or you're not a Muslim or anything like all these waswasa. Dua is a connection between you and Allah, a communication between you and Allah. It does not guarantee that thing will happen. But rather, difficulties will come in life. That's part of life. I said this sentence earlier on, I'll say it again, that if Jannah was in this world, it'll be given to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if he did not go through ease and he went through difficulty in this life, then who are we? If the prophets went through difficulties, then who are we? We will go through difficulties, my brothers. Just do not lose hope in Allah. And just keep your du'as, inshallah. And do not forget the mankind and the ummah, inshallah, in your du'as. Jazakallah khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We'll pray our sunnahs now, and after the sunnahs will be our khutbah. If I could ask everyone if they could stand up and make the stuffs as well, and then they can pray the sunnahs.